My name is Ty Bollinger. This is my lovely wife, Charlene.
Hi, everyone. We're excited to be back with you today.
We have a lot of interesting articles to discuss with you today, and we'll just get rolling with the first one here. It's about toxic dyes. Now, this is interesting, especially for those of you that have children, because if you look at the typical products that children are eating today, they're very colorful, right? They're very, it's literally eye candy. It's popping to their eyes. They walk through a candy store, they want all the bright colored candies, right? And even the foods that we get that are not candies, very colorful foods. I remember growing up, remember snow cones?
Oh yeah, the bright blue and pretty purple.
Yeah, yeah. Today children eat a lot of brightly colored foods, but the problem is in order to get those bright colors, the manufacturers are forced to inject food dyes into those products.
I think it's interesting to note and also shocking that there is 15 million pounds of food dyes being put into our foods.
Yeah, 15 million pounds, that's pretty unbelievable. It's a lot of food dyes that are going into the food supply each year. And we talk about the food dye, we're talking about yellow dye number 5, yellow number 6, red dye number 40, red dye number 3. And there was a comprehensive report just authored by the Center for Science and Public Interest, the CSPI. And that was a report that detailed the 15 million pounds that Charlene just shared with you. But they looked at common food dyes like the yellow dye number 5 and number 6, the red dye number 40, and they showed that, for instance, the red dye number 3 is a known carcinogen, right? And so if your kids are eating food that is red colored, it's likely it's been dyed with red dye number 3, which is a known carcinogen. They looked at red dye number 40, yellow dye number 5, yellow dye number 6, and they found that those all produce harmful effects in laboratory studies. And they also found out that yellow dye number 6 causes testicular tumors. So the bottom line is be aware of feeding your children these foods that contain these toxic dyes, but we do have some solutions, right?
We do, but some of the alternatives we have, and they shouldn't be alternatives, they should be what we go to first. Orange, for example, really good dye for orange would be carrots, or you can use beets for that color. And what we were talking
beets would be for red or pink.
Right.
Right. So beets would be for red or pink. And as a matter of fact, the Native Americans have been using beets for their beautiful garments for millennia. And beets is one of the primary colors.
And we juice with beets and it stains everything it touches.
Yeah,
so it stains
your hands.
We're careful with that. But if you wanted to make a pretty icing on a cake and you're using all non-toxic ingredients, it would be a pretty pink cake with the beets instead of using that red dye, because typically you would use red to make pink. And that's very toxic.
If you want something green, chlorophyll. It's a great option to dye something green. Chlorophyll, very, very intense green color, bright, almost fluorescent.
It builds your blood. It's good for you. Yeah. I took that when I was pregnant with Charity. I was trying to build strong blood. And that stuff is dark, dark green, but great, great dye.
Yeah, very healthy. If you want yellow, you could go with turmeric, right? Or curcumin, very pretty color of yellow. And then blue or purple, you might think blueberries or raspberries. That would be red. Blueberries or blackberries. But actually the best, let's see if you know this, the best natural substance to get blue or purple dye, what would you think it would be?
Cabbage.
Cabbage. Did you cheat? Did you read? You cheated.
I'll never tell.
So it is cabbage, actually. So if you take, but it's not the green cabbage, it's the purple cabbage. Take the leaves, you soak it in water, you'll notice that the water becomes purple. Great source of purple dye.
And then you could do a science trick with your kids and turn it, what color?
You can turn it blue if you add baking soda to it.
It's a
chemical
reaction.
That'll give you a natural blue color. So
if you have vinegar, you could have a volcano. But
we're on a science experiment. We're taking a trip today. So those are just natural options for you. You can have, you know, kids love to eat colored food. We do too. I mean, it's nice to eat beautiful food, but there are safe alternatives.
So there's the first thing you taste is what you see. That's the first part of your presentation. And we have a lot of nice little tea parties for the children. And I teach the girls that when they prepare food to make it look beautiful, and it seems to taste better when it is. But non-toxic is key.
Non-toxic is key, right? Speaking of non-toxic, one of the most toxic things that most women put on their bodies that maybe not even aware of this is skincare products. So, honey, let's talk about there's six bad boys that are in a lot of skincare products that we wanted to highlight today.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually read this because I want to be sure you all get this out there. We've got number 1, petroleum. It's an industrial chemical. It's a liquid mixture of hydrocarbons commonly found in Vaseline. We have not used Vaseline in years, knowing how toxic it is. Baby oils, baby lotions, suntan lotions, sunblocks. Now, there are some healthy sunblocks. The typical ones would include the petroleum base. And it's just toxic to the human body. What it does is it actually locks in toxins and prevents you from perspiring, which then you can't release the toxins that way. It's leading to inflammation, chronic itching, and even cancer, which we're trying to help you to prevent. Then number two would be talc. It's very toxic, found commonly in baby powders, body powders, and foot powders. Number three is...
Real quick on the talc, too. As a matter of fact, it was Johnson & Johnson Company earlier this year. News broke that I think they're being sued now, and they've had numerous cases of talc causing, I think it was uterine cancer?
Yes.
Uterine cancer in women. So we know that talc causes cancer, so watch out for talc. Go ahead.
And lead is a neurotoxin, and ladies, it's commonly found in your lipstick, so go non-toxic. There's some options you have out there. Then number four would be parabens, and these are chemicals that penetrate the skin and are common in cosmetics. They mimic hormones and are endocrine disruptors that can cause an allergic reaction and even hormone-based cancers. Then number five would be phthalates. And they're found in your moisturizers, your perfumes, nail polish, soaps, hairsprays, and they can increase the risk of diabetes in women and lower the sperm count in men. And ladies, if you want to get a lot of different essential oils, they smell so nice. You can put them behind your ears, on your neck, and on your pulse points, and a little bit here and there. And not only is it good for you, but you'll smell nice as well. And that's a great alternative that a lot of people use for the toxic perfumes.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Dr. Josh Action mentioned when I interviewed him last year with the Global Quest was that he makes a body lotion, a body butter, I think he calls it, for his mother, who cured her cancer with frankincense oil. But he puts different essential oils in it. You can put peppermint in there to smell good, or whatever you want to smell, orange, citrus, whatever.
And you could diffuse it in your home instead of those toxic candles and things. We both have, he has a diffuser downstairs in his office. And where I work, upstairs where the girls are, we have nice different flavors going. The little girls like to put the essential oils in there, and then we just keep those going throughout the day. So not only does it smell nice, but you're also getting the medicinal properties of those things.
And that is totally different than the typical, like the plug-ins that you can put in your house. Those are really toxic, so you want to stay away from them. But back to the butter that I was talking about for Josh Axe's mother, he adds the essential oils, but he adds coconut oil and cocoa butter. And he just whips all that up, and it's like a body lotion that you can use.
And frankincense and myrrh in there.
Different,
and that
different
way,
essential oils.
It's a coconut oil. It carries the essential oils directly into the body. And sometimes if you put an essential oil, I found out, directly on your body without an oil, you'll have a skin reaction, maybe a little rash, because it's so strong.
Yeah,
so oils are nice.
And the thing to remember about these lotions, these oils, these body products, is that your skin actually absorbs way more than you actually ingest through your mouth or your nose. And it's interesting that skin products are not regulated in any way, so you can put whatever you want in them. You know, the food products are regulated by the FDA. And I will refrain commenting on the FDA, but their stated goal is to keep the food supply clean. I'm not going to comment. I said I wasn't going to comment, so I'm not going to comment.
Right,
but
we've got this.
We don't have a regulatory body that regulates skincare products.
Yeah,
nobody
regulates it. The CDC does not regulate the different agencies, USDA. There's no regulation, so they could put anything they want, ladies and gentlemen. So you really want to find an organic version of all of these, or make your own. There's a lot of recipes you could find to make your own deodorants, your own lotions, a lot of organic options and cosmetics. There's more and more options coming out for you, so you really don't need to buy all these toxic ingredients. It's just unbelievable. And like Ty said, when you put it on your skin, there's no first line of defense. When you eat something, you have enzymes in your body and all kinds of things that are fighting foreign invaders. They don't recognize that they're fighting it, and over time you get chronic inflammation if you continue to ingest these things.
And what's number six on the list?
Number six is aluminum.
Aluminum. So aluminum is in a lot of skincare products, and unfortunately it's in
deodorants.
It's in vaccines as well.
Yeah.
And aluminum is so neurotoxic, it's unbelievable. So these are things to stay away from. A lot of really toxic ingredients. Just really be aware of what's in the skincare products that you're buying, those ingredients.
And with aluminum, it causes you to stop perspiring. So that's why they put it in deodorants. But then we're finding a lot of women, their breast cancer is starting right there because the toxins are being trapped. And then it's just ripe ground for the cancer to grow. So a great preventative measure for breast cancer specifically is to use non-aluminum deodorant.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's in most, antiperspirants stop you from perspiring. Deodorants don't. So that's the difference. So you don't want to ever use any kind of antiperspirant. You don't want to ever use something that will stop you from perspiring, ever, right? Because as Charlene mentioned, that's what you do, that you're getting rid of the toxins. So deodorants are the only things that you should consider, and even some of the deodorants are having aluminum in there now.
So next we're going to talk about all the pink you might be seeing during October. What's that about?
Well, it is October now, and that is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so that's when you see the Run for the Cure and the Race for the Cure and all of these walks for the cure.
And the football players are going to wear their pink shoes and socks.
You're going to see pink everywhere. And these, I want to begin by saying these are good people, well-intentioned people that have mothers and daughters and sisters that have cancer.
And they want to help.
And they believe
with all their heart they are helping.
Yeah.
And they have sweethearts in doing these things. But at the upper levels, there are some issues we're going to discuss.
Well, the history of Breast Cancer Awareness Month really is a history of deception. The pink ribbon that you see all these seas of pink. The original idea for the pink ribbon was actually stolen from a little old lady named Charlotte Haley that was passing out peach-colored ribbons to bring awareness to the fact that we're not being told the truth about breast cancer. And she wanted more research on breast cancer and less hype and so forth. And what we've got now today is exactly the opposite. Less research. It's a bunch of hype. It's a huge fundraising campaign. Very, very little money that goes to the American Cancer Society and Susan Komen gets actually spent on research.
Raising money has become the priority regardless of the consequences.
If people actually knew what was happening, they would be really pissed off. The first ribbon was salmon colored, made by a woman named Charlotte Haley. Estee Lauder came to her and said, "We love your ribbon and we want to make this a symbol of breast cancer." And Charlotte said, "No, that's about your bottom line."
They said, "Well, all we have to do if we want it is to change the ribbon."
Pink.
It is hypocrisy to use carcinogens in products and at the same time be raising money for a cure.
As you can see behind me, we handed out 12,000 bottles of Honest Tea and Honest Aid today.
It's almost like our disease is being used for people to profit. And that's not okay. And that's not okay. And that's not okay.
And it's interesting that the initial idea for Breast Cancer Awareness Month was from a company called Imperial Chemical Industries. Now, you've probably not heard of them, but they became AstraZeneca. And you've heard of AstraZeneca.
You've heard of them, yeah.
Right, Zeneca now. I think Zeneca's merged with another company. They keep merging and all that. But AstraZeneca manufactures a drug called tamoxifen, which we're all familiar with, the number one prescribed drug for breast cancer. The interesting thing about that is that tamoxifen is actually a known carcinogen. I want you to look at a screenshot here of the American Cancer Society's website, and tamoxifen is listed as a class one carcinogen. In other words, we know that it causes cancer, so it seems bizarre to prescribe that for someone that has cancer to try to treat the cancer.
Isn't that one of the top carcinogens listed by the World Health Organization, right?
World Health Organization as well. So yeah, WHO, the ACS, they all agree tamoxifen causes cancer. The interesting thing too about Breast Cancer Awareness Month is that what do you need to do? Get your
mammogram, right?
Get your mammogram. Well, it's interesting that a recent study that was published in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine in England, and this was published last year in 2015, says that we should abandon mammograms because they're useless. They don't detect breast cancer and they actually cause breast cancer because of the ionizing radiation.
If a woman follows the 10-year protocol of getting a mammogram every year or every 6 months, she is getting as much radiation as a woman had at Hiroshima, the atomic bomb, if she stood a mile away from the epicenter. She's getting over 5 rads of radiation in a mammogram if she follows the traditional methods of mammography. So mammograms cause a lot of problems. The compression, the radiation, the studies have shown that they can increase your risk of cancer.
Now, it's just, in light of all these things about breast cancer and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it's like we're being duped, and we really are.
Again, it's a big money-making machine, and we're here to break the back of that and bring you life, bring you health, bring you truth, and an alternative. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. What is the alternative?
Well, let me go into a couple more details, and then we'll get to the alternative. One of the problems with the mammograms is the fact that that there is overdiagnosis. As a matter of fact, there's several studies have been published over the last couple of years that have shown that upwards of 1.3 million women in the last couple of decades have been overdiagnosed. In other words, they were diagnosed with either breast cancer when they didn't have breast cancer, or they were diagnosed with a breast cancer that would have never caused any issues, like a stage zero cancer that would never have caused them any problems. And so then they're prescribed chemotherapy or tamoxifen, and that will cause cancer. And then they couple that with radiation, which we know causes cancer. This is fascinating, too. I just found this tidbit. Radiation as a cancer treatment may increase the survival and renewing abilities of the cells responsible for breast cancer growth by up to 30 times. Mm. In other words, not only does chemotherapy cause cancer, not only does the mammograms to detect it cause cancer, but the radiation that may be coupled with chemotherapy actually causes the cancer cells to be 30 times more aggressive. So it's just, we're just being sold a bill of goods when it comes to breast cancer. And as Charlene just mentioned, there is a better alternative for diagnostics, and it's called thermography. And it just measures the heat that's in the breast cells. Cool air is blown over the woman's breasts, and the spots that remain as red spots on the thermogram, it's a thermal picture, those are potentially cancerous tumors or pre-tumorous cells.
And it's non-invasive. If you look at the mammogram and the procedure, it's not only cancer-causing radiation going into your breast, but it's also taking your flesh and squeezing it to the point where if there is a tumor there that's hidden, it could potentially bust that tumor. And what happens when a tumor opens up? The cancer cells literally spread throughout the body, and that's very dangerous. So there's really nothing good about a mammogram. It's just mind-boggling that we're still using that technology.
And it's not early detection. Early detection's good. Early detection is your best protection. You'll hear that throughout this month. Mammograms are not early detection.
By the time they see a lump on a mammogram, it's taken 5 to 8 years to develop.
Thermograms can detect breast cancers up to 5 or 6 years before a mammogram could. Sometimes by the time a mammogram detects it, it's too late. Well, it's not too late. It's never too late, but it's much more advanced than it would have been with the thermogram. And that's the problem with the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, is that you're going to be pressured. You go out, you check out at the grocery store, and they're going to, you want to give the change to Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, the little clerk. And if you don't, they look at you like you're some woman-hating monster or something.
But here's what I do. I always have a stock of our cards with our Facebook pages and our website. And I give them the card. I say, anybody that wants a book, we'll give it. If somebody wants boxes of books at a fundraiser, we will be happy to donate. You just let us know how we can help. But this is a scam. Mm. And I've gotten into so many conversations with people that just didn't know. And that are very interested. And we've become friends or have corresponded, and they've climbed outside of this box of death, and they're now happily living and sharing the truth with their friends. So that's the way I deal with that.
Yeah, but can you imagine if the test for testicular cancer was the same as mammograms, that you had to squish the testes? I bet that wouldn't last very long. I think the men would be up in arms. On a different subject, but did you see the news recently? I think it was middle of August. The CDC came out with Federal Register number 2016-18103. Probably aren't familiar with that number, but you've probably heard of the forced vaccines, where the CDC can quarantine you if they suspect that you have some kind of an illness. They can quarantine you against your will and force medical procedures, which does include vaccines.
For example, if you're flying, it's already hard enough to have to deal with the TSA and get that fast track so you don't have to deal with all that mess. But now they're proposing that when you're flying and if the flight attendant looks at you and you have the sniffles and you look like you could have some kind of sickness, they can actually take you and hold you up to 72 hours and do any medical treatment they deem necessary, including forced vaccinations. Mm-hmm. That's what's coming down the pike if we don't stand together collectively and say, no way.
Yeah, I mean, you hear this and you're like, I'm sorry, did I stumble into Mao's China? Did I stumble into Hitler's Germany? No, this is the United States. The real question is, who owns your body? do you have the right to make medical decisions or does the government? And the CDC is saying, we have the right. We have the right to force vaccinate you if you want, despite the fact that even though vaccines are, we're told that they're safe and effective, that over $3.4 billion have been paid out to vaccine-injured families, so they're not safe and effective. And here's something that's very frightening in the language of this proposed rule. It says, the individual's consent shall not be considered as a prerequisite to any exercise of authority under this part. What does that mean? It means the CDC can force you to accept a medical procedure like a vaccine, even if you don't want to.
Even if you say no. And we remember Cassandra, the story of Cassandra, how she said no to chemotherapy, and this is happening on a regular basis around the United States every single day at hospitals. They took her, it took 12 people to hold her down on a table to force that chemotherapy port in her chest, that she kept saying no. She was fighting so violently for her body, for her right to say no, and they said no, we're gonna do it. And they did it, and they kept doing it every day. And she calmly said every day, I do not consent. And they said, we're just doing our job. That's where we are, and we need to stop this.
Yeah, and we have until October the 14th to make our voices heard. Right here, there's a website on the screen here. You can click or you can go to this link, and you can make your voice heard and let the CDC know that this is not acceptable. It's really important that we do this.
We encourage every single one of you listening to us to do that. Not only that, share this with your friends and have them do it. Let it be a domino effect. Let us storm this website with our voices.
Yeah. And speaking of making your voices be heard, an interview that I was out traveling a few weeks ago and Charlene sent me a link. It was a Facebook video. It was Nico LaHood, who is the district attorney in Bexar County. It looks like Bexar County for those of you that aren't Texans, but it's Bexar County.
We live there.
Yeah, we used to live in Bexar County. That's San Antonio area. Nico's the district attorney there.
Great guy.
Yeah, great guy. And she sent me an interview of him speaking out about vaccines. And so it was pretty interesting to hear him. His take, being a prosecuting attorney, is that he has overwhelming circumstantial evidence that he would love to be able to prosecute the vaccine companies in court because he has such overwhelming circumstantial evidence that he could prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that vaccines do harm and do cause autism, do injure, and so forth, even though we're told they're safe and effective.
But he said, unfortunately, he can't do that because the vaccine companies, the cartel, has been given immunity by our own government, so we cannot sue them, even if they're killing people in the droves, which they are. But Nico is a very intelligent man, well-spoken. He's a prosecuting attorney, so he knows how to really look at things and investigate, research, and come to a logical and legal conclusion. And he has researched this, and he's got a child that is damaged by vaccines, and he is speaking out, and his voice is being heard around not only America, but around the world. And we're really proud of him and his wife. They are now advocates for you.
And the interview that you sent to me was an interview that Polly Tommy with Vaxxed gave with Nico. And so we were able to hook up with Polly and Dell, Big Tree, and the Vaxxed crew here in Nashville just recently.
Yes, Polly, she's just one of my new BFFs. Love her. She's doing everything she can for you. She's given her life just on the altar of service to humanity. She has a vaccine-injured son. He's grown, and she has just used it for good. She's out of this ash heap. She is bringing beauty to the world and life. And Del Bigtree, he is just so passionate. I mean, I could sit as a fly on the wall and just listen to him talk all day long. He is not only passionate, but he knows and understands the truth behind the vaccine industry.
Well, lastly today, we want to cover a potential merger. I wrote an article about this last month. It was entitled Baylor Monsanto, A Marriage Made in Hell. But it just kind of chronicled the evil history of both of these companies. But Bayer has a history of, they were involved with IG Farben. They were one of the three companies that formed IG Farben in Nazi Germany. They had one of their members on the board of directors for Bayer after World War II was Fritz Tremere, a convicted war criminal, convicted of crimes against humanity. He was later placed on the board of directors at Bayer. They've had several drugs recalled over the years after killing thousands of people. And then also Bayer, they had a birth control pill called Yaz, which literally killed hundreds of young women that were taking it. I mean, they've got a real evil past. Not that you can't, they don't have some good products. Not that everybody that works for Bayer is a bad person. Just as a company, they've got a pretty sordid history.
The hierarchy. When they came to America, they came through Operation Paperclip. Some of the scientists were Nazis that were doing horrific things to people, and they just relocated here. That's Bayer. And now Monsanto, this is the marriage made in, it's like two demons coming together to make the ultimate devil that will consume the universe. It's like Sauron getting the One Ring. That's what this is. It's just unbelievable. Our children love the Lord of the Rings, so that's for you kiddos. So these two companies are coming together, which is unbelievable.
And some of the things that Monsanto's been involved with, you know, Charlie mentioned the GMOs.
It's a whole
They brought PCBs to the market, which caused cancer.
They
brought Agent Orange, DDT. They were part of the Manhattan Project that invented the atomic bomb. Glyphosate, we can thank Monsanto for glyphosate. RBST, bovine growth hormone, that's Monsanto. Roundup Ready soy, Roundup Ready corn, BT cotton. And now we're not only talking about them, but we've also got DuPont, Dow, Syngenta, and China National Chemical Corporation are talking about coming together to form the three big ones. The big three, I guess you would call it. Chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery are the big three. And cancer treatments, these would be the big three in big agra, big pharma, big evil.
Big evil, that would be a good name for it.
Anyway, one of the things that I saw about this merger on Fox News was this talking head puppet that he said, oh, we have to use GMOs to feed the world. GMOs are good. GMOs are science. It's been proved that they're safe. It's been proved that that's the only way to feed the world.
Now, let's be real clear. You want to solve world hunger, which I think Bayer kind of does want to do, and want to profit from that. The only way you're going to do that is through genetically modified foods. It's science is the only way to eradicate hunger. That's the bet that Bayer's making. Now, I think it's good. I mean, listen, if you believe that there's a problem with world hunger, which we know there is in certain parts of the world, the only way to produce food fast and cheaply is through this is through this science.
You think it goes through? Quickly?
No.
No.
I'm sorry.
The reality is, that's not the truth. That's exactly the opposite of the truth. And so, a recent trip to Texas, I interviewed Mike Adams, our good buddy, the Health Ranger. Here's what he had to say about that.
The pro-GMO propaganda is not rooted in science. It's rooted in the same kind of manipulation that we saw with Big Tobacco. In fact, it's a lot of the same actors, the PR spinmeisters, the character assassins that worked for Big Tobacco now work for the biotech industry. The real science says that we should honor the precautionary principle, which means we should have some caution about the open release of self-replicating forms of contamination. Think about it. If you have an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, the oil doesn't replicate and create more oil. You have to clean it up, but it's a finite amount. Well, genetically modified seeds are self-replicating, which means that once you've opened that Pandora's box, you now have a problem that you can never undo. You can't reverse it. So you now have genetic pollution, which continues and persists and actually duplicates itself over time. It is very, very unscientific to state that this is going to be safe forever, even though you don't know the consequences. In fact, through the history of science, we've had many, many examples of science making huge, horrendous mistakes that had to be corrected with catastrophic consequences, by the way. And often changes in paradigm shifting. For example, thalidomide in the pharmaceutical industry. Horrific birth defects in children, but that was based on science. You know, you've got the whole vaccine epidemic happening right now where we're injecting children with mercury. That's called scientific. We're chemically bombarding entire cities in America today, like Miami, because of Zika, and releasing genetically modified mosquitoes with unknown future consequences. If you are releasing things into the environment that may replicate and pollute and cause catastrophic consequences and not thinking about this, then that is crazy quack science. And that's what the GMO industry is engaged in. It's not scientific. It's all political. It's all based on bullying regulators and bullying scientists into obedience, not proving that their product is safe.
Well, that's fascinating information from Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I think he's accurate. This is quack science. It is propaganda. It is bullying. It's not the truth. The truth of the matter is that we have science on our side. They don't. So, of course, they're going to accuse us of being anti-science. It's like the big agra, big pharma, Jedi mind trick.
Right, you know? Right. They typically will accuse the ones on the other side of the fence of the very thing they're guilty of. If you look in the political realm, they're doing the same thing. So if there's some big evil out there doing evil, they're going to accuse you of that very evil.
And real briefly, I had the privilege of interviewing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. last week at his home in California, and we talked about vaccines. And he's very heavy into the science, and he showed me studies after study after study that prove without a shadow of a doubt that Tamiflu has been linked to autism. And that's scientific. So that's coming next year with The Truth About Vaccines. Fascinating interview with RFK. He's an activist. He's an attorney. He's one of the Kennedy clan. Really great guy. And really thankful to him for opening up his house to us.
He's doing great things. And he's a man of integrity. And we like hooking up with people like that. And he's mentioning The Truth About Vaccines. We cannot wait. We have the best footage the world will ever see. The truth is coming. You just stay tuned. More is coming.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye.